Good morning, Word of Grace. As Colin already said, I'm in the midst of my brothers and sisters. I'm in the house of God where I was born again. In the house where I grew. I'm in the house of God which sent us and led us into the purposes of God. I'm in the house where I feel absolutely free to bring God's work this morning. I'm in the midst of an apostolic people group who did not just send us, but are also carrying us in their hands. Thank you very much for all your prayers, for all your interceding, especially at this point of time when we need it the most, because where we are in the central part of London. And by the way, I bring greetings from there. I bring greetings from Trinity Church. Thank you very much, Sumit. I bring greetings from Trinity Church, London. Today is the fifth Sunday that they would be meeting there. And it's a massive privilege to be part of something that God is doing in the center of the city. And just like you, people come from every nook and corner of the city, in the center, worship God, meet with people, create a community there, and then move back to their own places and do the same thing there during the week. It's an absolute privilege to be part of that, and I thank God for that. And at this point of time, we would need your prayers a bit more, because we want to be faithful with what God has given us. We want to be faithful with what God has placed in our hands. So do pray for us. Do keep us in your prayers. There was a king in the Old Testament. He was the man after God's own heart. And God had blessed him immensely with many nations and many, many cities, King David. And he was blessed. He was absolutely blessed. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, there's a list of battles or the group of people that are mentioned. The Moabites and the Edomites and all the other ites that were defeated by King David. And chapter 10 of 2 Samuel mentions the defeat that Ammonites experienced by King David, by God. And in between these two chapters, there is a beautiful chapter of this guy called Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. I want to speak to you guys about from that piece of scripture. And I believe that piece of scripture talks about the most important concept of the Bible. It's a huge claim to make, actually. It's the anchor of Christianity. It's the foundation on which we stand, and the concept is called the grace of God. The grace of God. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He's lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servants to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your presence that goes before us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have opened our hearts this morning. Father, we pray that you would get hold of our hearts once again, afresh, that we would be able to see the story of your grace, of your kindness in our lives, in Mephibosheth's life, in a way that you want us to see, Lord. Father, I pray that there won't be any hindrances, no barriers of language, no barriers of understanding, Lord, and that I would be clear, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Let the name of Jesus be exalted. Let the name of Jesus be exalted in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First things first, the Bible says David asked. Now David is the guy who was immensely blessed, as we said, immensely blessed by God. God had given him the nations, God had given him the cities, and God said, "This belongs to you, and this place belongs to you, and you are blessed." And with those blessings, what is he doing? He's saying, "I want to be a blessing. I want to bless others. I don't want to just sit with this blessing and do nothing about it. I want to be a blessing." When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, "I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'll make your name great. You will have people as the number of the stars in the skies, as the grain of the sand in the desert. I will make your name great, and I will bless you. And you will be a blessing." The whole purpose of Abraham being blessed by God was this: that you will be a blessing. And that's the purpose of our lives, brothers and sisters, I believe. If you already know Jesus, you are blessed. God has blessed you with forgiveness. God has blessed you with righteousness. God has blessed you with love, unconditional, agape love. And the love that we receive, now we are said, go and bless others. Go and be a blessing in your workplaces. Go and be a blessing in your neighbors and communities. Go and be a blessing in the schools and colleges that you go to. Go and be a blessing. That's our purpose. That's the purpose of our lives, to be a blessing. Blessed so that we can be a blessing. Comforted so that we can comfort others. Paul says to Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, I believe, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. "Who comforts us in all our troubles." Praise be to God who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort we have received ourselves from God. So blessed to be a blessing, comforted so that we can comfort others. The second character of our story, Mr. Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson. And I don't know about you, but when I read this story for the first time, I could literally draw parallels between Mephibosheth's life and my own life. I could see that the condition in which Mephibosheth lived was a similar condition that I was living in 6.5 years ago, when I did not know Jesus the way I know him right now. The place that he was living in, Lo Debar, that was a similar place that I was living in. The way David intervened in his life is all connected to the way God intervenes into our lives. The way he intervened in my life. The way he would have intervened in your life if you are a believer of Jesus Christ this morning. And I looked at Mephibosheth's condition. And the way Mephibosheth responds to David is very similar to probably our response and your response this morning. So let's look at these 3 points. Mephibosheth's condition, our condition, God's intervention, the call of grace over our lives, and Mephibosheth's response. The condition of Mephibosheth. The name Mephibosheth, the commentators say that the name Mephibosheth means a shameful thing. A shameful thing. In fact, 1 Chronicles chapter 8 verse 34 says, his name was Merib-Baal, which means exterminator of shame. Quite the opposite. Merib-Baal. Exterminator of shame. Baal was one of the idols who was worshipped in those days. So he was named after Baal, exterminator of Baal, exterminator of idols, exterminator of shame. How did this happen? Why did an exterminator of shame, or how did an exterminator of shame become a shameful thing, a Mephibosheth? And the Bible says the reason for that is the fall. In this short account, we are told, how did this guy, Mephibosheth, become lame, become crippled? In 2 Samuel 4 verse 4, it says, Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. And this is how he became lame. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, that they are no more. His nurse picked him up and fled. But as she hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. It was this fall that made him crippled, utterly dependent, and useless for the rest of his life. There is another fall that the Bible talks about. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning there was nothing. There was God and there was nothing. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the unformed shape of the earth and the waters. And God created everything out of nothing. God created the heavens and the earth. He made the stars in the skies. He made a bright light for the day and a little light for the night. The sun and the moon. He created vegetation. He created creatures. And then he said, let's make man in our own image. So he created man and he created woman. In the desire to become more and more like God, they were deceived by the evil one. And there the fall came into picture. They fell. They were given dominion over the entire creation, that go and be fruitful. Go and multiply. But in the desire to become like God, they fell. And the consequences was, one of the biggest consequences was separation from God. So if you're sitting here and wondering, why is there so much trouble on earth? Why are there so much suffering? Why is there so much suffering? Why are there so many diseases? Why do people suffer so much? And part of the answer to all those questions is this, that these are all the consequences of the fall. These are all the consequences of this separation from God. And to be honest, the consequence is much, much bigger than just separation from God. The Bible says that you're not just separated from God, you are hostile to God. You are hostile to God. Romans 8 verse 6 says, the mind of sinful man is death. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It is one thing to be separated from God, and it's a complete different thing altogether to be hostile, to be against, to be at enmity with God. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, there was a time when you used to live and followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. But brothers and sisters, not now, not anymore. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Every curse was broken. Every shame was gone. Every sickness was gone once you put your name, once you put your faith in the name of Jesus. That's our faith. That's the foundation on which we stand. Not anymore. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Even though we were at enmity with God, God was not our enemy. God was not our enemy, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's it. God is not our enemy at all. We were at enmity with God. And look at the story. Mephibosheth, being a son of David and a grandson of Saul, he was a natural enemy to David. He was a natural enemy. So Mephibosheth was an enemy of David, but David says, I want to bless him. Amen. I want to bless him. I want to be a blessing to Mephibosheth. I want to be a blessing to Mephibosheth. Another striking similarity between Mephibosheth's condition and our condition is his place of stay. His place of stay. He lived in a place called Lo Debar. He was far away from the king. He was far away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem being a place of blessing, Jerusalem being a place of acceptance, Jerusalem being a place of worship, Jerusalem being a place of presence of God. He was far away from all those things. He was in a place called Lo Debar. And commentators say that the meaning of this word is a place of no bread. A place of no bread. This was my condition 6.5 years ago. I was in a place of knowing Jesus, but just as a prophet, not as my Lord and Savior. And when I came to God, when I came to God, I came with my own baggage. I came with my prayers. I came with my good works. I came with my charity done to the poor. I came with my namazes. I came with my fasting and rosas. That was my condition. That is what I believed, that by doing all these good works, I would be accepted. I came with the baggage. I was in a place of no bread. So even though outwardly I did look awake, but inwardly I was in a deep, deep sleep. A deep, deep sleep. And what I needed was God's intervention. What I needed was God's intervention, which is the next point. And when God intervenes into one's life, there is nothing much that you can do but say yes and respond to God in yes. When God calls you by name, there is very little that you can do. Or everything else in life becomes fragile and not very important. But responding to God and saying yes becomes the most rightful thing. And saying yes becomes the most rightful thing to do. Not for that moment, but for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our fathers did that, and it changed their life and their destiny forever. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, leave your country, Abraham. Leave your people, leave your household, and go to the place I will show you. And Genesis chapter 12, verse 4 says, so Abram left and did as Lord had told him to do. So Abram left. When God met with Moses in the burning bush, God said, go, Moses, and free my people from the yoke of slavery in Egypt. Free my people from there. Get them out of that place, because they are my chosen ones. Moses came up with many lame excuses that, God, I can't do this, I can't do that, oh, I'm not made for this. But eventually, he went. Eventually, he went. In the New Testament, Jesus called Peter and Andrew. He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they left their nets immediately. They left their nets because they were fishermen. They left their nets at once, and they followed Jesus. Saul, who became Paul, his life was changed in a moment while he was on his way to persecute Christians on the road to Damascus. His life was changed in a moment. My life was changed in a moment. I was in a sort of a meeting like this, and I had gone to that place just to figure out, with my hands in my pocket, what do these guys do? What are these Christians doing?
There are not three gods. They believe in three different gods.
They believe in God the Father, they believe in God the Son, and they believe in God the Mother, Mary. Which is blasphemy for Christians as well, obviously. But that's what my idea of believing in three different gods was.
They believe in three different gods.
They believe in a book which is completely manipulated. They believe in a book which is full of stories and fabricated stories.
That's what I thought.
And I said, okay, let's go and see what these Christians are like. Let me just go and see, figure out. And so I went to this meeting. Towards the end, there were people laying hands on each other and praying for one another. And there was this lady, a beautiful lady, who asked me, did somebody pray for you? I won't mention the name of the lady, but just to let you know that she's present here this morning. So she asked me, did somebody pray for you? I said, no, nobody prayed for me. Can we pray for you? And I looked at her with a little bit of suspicion. Why would you pray for me? In my head, I'm thinking, why would you pray for me? Because my name is Abdullah Jamal. And why would you pray for me? Anyway, what would you pray anyway? We would just pray that God would open your eyes and God would come and meet with you. And I said, it's not me who need meeting with God. It's you guys. And so I said, okay, fine, go ahead, pray, fine. I know nothing will happen. I know nothing will happen. And in that way, I would have evangelized about Islam to these guys. I would do that. Come on, go ahead, pray. So I stood in this posture and I said, okay, fine, pray. And the people around me, they laid their hands over me and they prayed. Very simple prayer. God, come and meet with him. God, come and touch him. That was a simple prayer, that God, come and meet with him. And in the midst of all this, what happened was, I started with sobbing, and then I started crying, and then I started weeping, literally. And I was trying to tell myself, Abdullah, why are you creating a scene here? Stop. And the more I stopped myself, the more heavily I cried and I wept. And I did not know what was happening to me. I did not know what was happening to me. In the midst of all this, it was a peace that surpasses every understanding that was being downloaded in my heart at that point. But I don't have exact words to express that. But something of this sort happened, that a sort of a presentation screen came in front of me. And all the wrongs that I had done in my life up until the age of 26 years started coming up one by one. Abdullah, this is the wrong that you did, and I'm going to forget it forever. Abdullah, this is the wrong that you have done, and I'm going to forget it and take it from you as far as east is from the west, separated from you forever. Abdullah, this is the wrong that you have done, and I'm going to be completely wiping it out forever. And there I was standing again with all my baggage and saying, who are you? Who's showing me all these things? Because for 26 years of my life, I've been doing my namazes, I've been doing my rosas, I've had this desire of going to Mecca, I'm giving to the poor, I'm doing all the good things that the laws of Islam they require, that the Muslims around me require. I'm doing all those things. Who are you? Who's showing me all these things? Who are you? And there was a very clear voice in my heart, not an audible voice, but a very clear voice in my heart. Mehu Isa, which means I am Jesus. Whoa. I am Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And that was the U-turn of my life. And that's how God got hold of my life. And everything around me changed, not for just that moment, but forever. Forever. I would have told people around me that, nothing happened. I would have lied easily, nothing happened. But I couldn't have lied to myself for the rest of my life that nothing had happened. God had met with me and I had met with God at that point of time. And if you are here, sitting here thinking and looking in and saying, really, is this real? Can this happen? I would say, call on the name of the Lord and he will meet with you. call on the name of the Lord and He will meet with you and change your life forever. Forever. Anyway, Mr. Mephibosheth, his life was about to change in a moment. But to be honest, he was filled with fear. Being a natural enemy of King David, he was like, oh my days, I'm going to go in King's presence and he's going to execute me. I'm going to be dead. What side of the bed did I get up this morning? Whom did I see the first face that I saw in the morning? Whom did I see? Who was that? That's what he would be thinking all this while. Oh, the king has summoned me. I am dead today. I'm gone. But when he goes to meet the king, and as he goes in the presence of the king, filled with fear, he throws himself to the king's feet. And this is what David says. David says, verse 7, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Let's camp here for a bit. Let's stay here for a bit. This, I would say, is the call of grace over his life. The call of grace over Mephibosheth's life. And the call of grace brings acceptance. The call of grace brings communion. And the call of grace brings blessings. When David said, I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan, what was he doing? He was actually showing kindness because of the covenant that he made to his friend Jonathan, Saul's son, the one who was the enemy of David. He had made a covenant that, yes, I will look after you. When I become the king, Jonathan said, this is what Jonathan said, but show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family. Not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So he was actually, King David was showing him kindness for Jonathan's sake because of the covenant that he had with Jonathan, this friend. And look at our condition. Why are we shown kindness by God? On whose sake? On the sake of Jesus. We are accepted because of Jesus. We are accepted because he said, it is finished. Because he died on the cross, taking all our shame, all our guilt away, and giving us the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. This is your portion. This is what belongs to you. I am sending you the Holy Spirit. He belongs to you. We are accepted in the eyes of God because of Jesus. The assurance of salvation that we have is because of Jesus. So today, at this point of time, if I'm standing here, and if I drop dead, where would I go? I would go to heaven. And I don't say this in arrogance or pride, but I say this with absolute humility. Because my going to heaven is not based upon my good works. My going to heaven is based upon what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for us, for me. It's not because of me. It's all because of Jesus. Sometimes we do this, probably unknowingly. A little bit of Jesus and a little bit of me. Oh, Jesus here, he died on the cross for our sins 2,000 years ago. But I need to do this for my salvation. I need to get this done. I still need to please God with my good works. Yes, there are good works, but not for pleasing God. The good works are for us to run the race. To run the race. Paul says to Corinthians, run the race. And that's what the good works for us are. So, we are accepted for the sake of Jesus Christ. And just something about this covenant. Mephibosheth had no idea about this covenant. The promise between David and Jonathan, Mephibosheth had no idea. It was probably made before he was even born, probably. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Paul writes to Ephesians and he says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Can you believe that? Before the creation of the world. I go bonkers when I read this verse. And he chose us in him before the creation of the world. We were singing that song earlier this morning that he is the author of our salvation and he chose us in him. Before the creation of the world. Can you believe that? The Father knew that I would be born in a family where they would not know Jesus the way he has revealed himself to his people. The Father knew that I would bow down my head in the direction of a stone which is supposedly fallen from heaven 5 times a day. The Father knew that even before I'm about to hear that Jesus is the Son of God and he died on the cross for our sins, I would put my fingers in my ears so tight that I'm not able to hear anything. The Father knew that I would do all those things. But still, he chose me and he chose you and he chose us in him before the creation of the world. This is a massive cause of worship, brothers and sisters. A massive cause of worship. He chose us even before any human thought of our existence existed. Any human thought of our existence existed. The call of grace brings acceptance. Next is the call of grace brings blessings. Mephibosheth got more in David than he had lost in Saul. There is a reason why every verse in the Bible is mentioned. You see that little bracket, which verse is that? Where he says, Ziba. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants in brackets. Why is it mentioned there? To show this, that Mephibosheth received more in David than he had lost in Saul. What he lost in Saul was the land, which was given to him anyway. David said, all the land that belonged to Saul, your grandfather, I'm giving you. And plus, there is Ziba. There is his 15 sons and 20 servants. All these 36 people are at your service. And you will be fed for the rest of your life. Mephibosheth received much more in David than he had lost in Saul. And that is why I say call of grace brings blessings. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? How will he not give us all things? He has given us his son. How will he not give us healing? How will he not give us our family members? How will he not give us the assurance, the promise of salvation for our family members? He will. Every promise, yes and amen. Call of grace brings communion. Mephibosheth ate regularly at king's table like one of the king's sons. In case you have missed it, it's mentioned 4 times in this small little passage that Mephibosheth ate at the king's table. Verse 7, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 13. 4 times in this passage that he ate at the king's table. How amazing is that? This is what we get. We sit in the presence of God because of Jesus. And one of the preachers said, when Mephibosheth sat at David's table, his lameness was covered. His lameness was covered. It was a royal table. When he sat at the table, his lameness was covered. Can I have that pen, please? Imagine this is me, lame, without a cover. I wouldn't keep it in my pocket because it will ruin my t-shirt, my shirt. I wouldn't keep it anywhere close to me. I would use it whenever I want to use it and I throw it off here and there. It would just be lying here and there without a cover because it is lame. This is Christ. When I'm in Christ, my lameness is covered because of Christ, because of Jesus. My lameness is covered in him. My spiritual lameness is covered in him. I'm accepted in the sight of God because of Jesus. I know I'm repeating it again and again, but I really want this to be the foundation of our lives, to be that one thought that we think day and night, in and out, that we are accepted in the eyes of God only because of Jesus. Imagine what this must be like for Mephibosheth, who is crippled and dependent, lived in Lo-Debar, who was not accepted, but he's now accepted, who was not blessed, but now blessed, who was not in any communion or any closeness, any relationship with the king, but now he's going to be sitting and eating with the king for the rest of his life. Imagine what would this do to Mephibosheth. He was in awe and wonder of the king. For him, the most exciting thing was to sit in the fields and see the tumbleweed blow. Just a usual day. But now he is sitting in the presence of the king saying, "You're going to be eating with me for all the days of your life." For all the days of your life. He was overwhelmed. And that's why that response, "A dead dog like me." A dead dog like me. For Jews, to call themselves dog was not sacred, obviously. Was really bad, was really sinful. And a dead dog, dead meat. He's calling himself a dead dog like me. He's counting himself completely unworthy. But David is not looking at him like that. He's saying, "No, I want to bless you." And that's what God did. And that's why that response, "A dead dog like me." He was blown away by King's kindness. Psalm 8 verse 3 and 4 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him." What is man that you are mindful of him? Shall we close our eyes? Can I call the band, please? Let's close our eyes for a moment. Let's respond to God. Because of the acceptance that we have received, because of the blessings, because of the communion that we have in Jesus. Let's respond to God. If you are here and you've been looking in and saying, "I'm not sure if Christianity is for me, if this Jesus guy is for me. I'm not sure of that. This is what I've been believing since my childhood. This is what I've been taught. This is how I know God. I'm not sure about this Jesus guy. I don't know him this way." God says, "Give me your heart. Give me your heart." Today he is calling you by name. Today he is calling you by name. And I pray that, Lord God, that we would not harden our hearts this morning, that we would respond to you in worship, that we would respond to you in praising you, in accepting your name, in accepting, in humbling ourselves, that it is not about me, it is all about you, Lord. It's not about me, Lord Jesus, it's about you, Father. So come, Holy Spirit, let your name be exalted on high. Let your name be made famous. Let the heavens rejoice over one lost sheep that has come back. Let the heavens rejoice because of that one coin that has been found. Let the heavens rejoice because of the son that has come back to the Father, knowing that I was on the wrong path, but I now repent of my sins, and I come to you. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would touch hearts this morning, Lord. Right now, Lord Jesus, that you would get hold of our hearts, Lord. You would get hold of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Get hold of our lives, Lord. How else do we respond but say thank you? How else do we respond but worship you, Lord? How else do we respond but be grateful to you sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins? Lord Jesus, we praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. And for the rest of us who know him, who have put our faith in him already and know that our sins are forgiven and we are accepted, our lameness, our crippleness is gone because of Jesus' finished work, let's stand. Let's worship. Let's enjoy his presence. Let's come with grateful hearts. Let's come and thank him for all he has done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
What grace is this that loves the sinner, that took my place and pardons me? Your grace is free, I cannot earn. Your glorious grace, so undeserved.
What grace is this? Swift to bless, patient and kind, your grace gives me the time to change this sinful heart of mine. Amazing grace, you overwhelm.
Stay still for a moment. Thank you, Abdullah, for that amazing word. And, you know, you may have walked in this morning not knowing what grace means, not knowing that all your sins can be forgiven. Wow. Past, present, and future. But you can walk out of here knowing that every sin of yours has been paid for on the cross by Jesus. What an amazing thing that is. Okay, so once again, today is the day of salvation. We don't know where we will be tomorrow or next week, whether we'll be alive or not, but today is the moment of grace. Okay? If you're saying, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, you rose again from the dead, and I trust in you, you can enter into this amazing grace. Come and speak to us after the meeting. We'd love to pray for you. Amen.